My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Here we are.
We are back in the champagne room of MacGuffin's.
What do we see?
This is why I want you to stop asking me what the movie is.
Why?
I just want to tell you, be there at 7 on Wednesday. And because sometimes you're like, I don't want to see that. And I'm like, no. This will be a good time. It won't be a good movie, but we're going to have a good time talking about it afterwards. A movie like Unforgettable.
That's right. Unforgettable.
You forgot the name of the movie, Unforgettable.
Oh, my God.
And there's good reason for that, as we'll discuss this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. I blanked on the thing I've said for the past 190 episodes.
You say, I'm Sean Collier.
No, that's what I say in the beginning part. This is where I say, it is You Can Handle the Truth
for
Friday, April 21st, 2017. As noted, I am Sean Collier. That is Aaron Kleiber.
I am.
We are at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 in West Homestead, Pennsylvania.
Our home theater.
It is. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah,
And we saw Unforgettable. So
did not.
Aaron, what do you got to plug? Because really, let's get straight to that.
Well, I mean, if we're coming out the gate like that, this weekend I'm in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's nice.
If anybody is near there,
the
or
state
has
capital.
There, I'm at
sure.
the Comedy Zone in Harrisburg, the 21st and 22nd. Next week, the 26th, I will be in Chicago doing the Comedians You Should Know show.
Oh.
Then the 27th through the 29th, I will be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. Andy Picaro will be opening for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then May 3rd through the 6th, I will be at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Andy will also still be with me.
You're playing the Great Plains.
Yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. These are my Great Plains clubs.
Tonight, as you're hearing this, I will be in Cranberry, Pennsylvania with Dustin Diamond. You know him from Saved by the Bell. He'll be there. You can Google Slapstick Comedy Productions for more info on that.
Congratulations.
Tomorrow night. Thank you. Like I keep saying, I'm just going to keep making friends with Saved by the Bell because you get Full House. I don't know. Do any of the rest of them have projects?
I have no idea. I mean, Mario Lopez does pretty well.
Yeah, he does well for himself.
Mark Gosselaar.
He was a guy. He was around for a while.
Yeah, he was He was on NYPD Blue, wasn't he?
What's Her Name was in Showgirls. That's 20 years ago now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the other girl went crazy or something.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
probably. I don't know.
The black girl. She went a little nuts.
Don't look. I never watched Saved by the Bell. I'm going to be straight with you and the listeners. You know, when I get to this show, I'm going to be like,
you're
sir,
just, naming.
Just an honor to meet you.
Because I know some people like you.
Right.
Or...
I never watched Saved by the Bell. But, you know, I know what love people have for it. So
right.
Come on out.
Right.
Tomorrow night. Is, hey, big show. It's called The Loaded Show. You might have heard me talk about these before. Tomorrow night at Club Cafe, DVE Loaded Show featuring Jeff Conkle, T-Robe, Shannon Norman, Tim Ross, Felicia Gillespie, Chuck Krieger, Dave Bracey.
Wow.
Guest set by Amanda Averill. She's our guest set for this month.
Super loaded.
That's clubcafelive.com for tickets. And next weekend, I'm doing something. It just says Baldwin. That's all the information I have. I'll be in Baldwin. Baldwin, Pennsylvania. Oh, but you know what I'm going to next Friday night? This is not a gig. This is not a professional engagement. I want to give them love because I talk about this every year. Next Friday night, the 28th, is the first Monsterama of the year at the Riverside Drive-In Theater.
When is that?
You got to be looking for it. A week from Friday the 28th,
that
right?
That's right. I know because I was mad because I'm out of town. That's why.
I go every year, and it goes back to the time that I went for popcorn, and like Doug Bradley came out from around a corner just chilling. I'm like, guys, Pinhead is here. Pinhead is here right now. Roll up the windows, lock the doors. No, they do twice a year. They do a big two-night marathon of horror movies. And I will be going on the 28th to see Texas Chainsaw 2, Motel Hell, I Drink Your Blood, and Deranged.
Oh, nice. Night, I Drink Your Blood's awesome.
Night 2 is Child's Play, Black Christmas, Madman, and Trick or Treat, not the one from the 2000s, the one from the 80s, which is about...
That's good!
Is that good?
Yeah,
we watched
that.
The preview for it. It looks hilarious.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah. Drive-In Super Monsterama. Google that.
I remember you talking about that, and months ago.
Yeah,
and I already had these shows booked. That's
yeah,
right.
No, that's yeah. You gotta go do your job. That's important.
Well, you know, I gotta pay the bills.
Right. Hey, but Unforgettable. You probably don't.
I was gonna keep trying to not
is.
Talk about this movie as long as I possibly could.
This is the one with Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson, where you saw a commercial and was like, "Oh, what's that?" That's the extent of your knowledge of this film.
Yeah.
And it's one of those. This is clearly a Lifetime original movie.
With a bigger budget.
With a big budget.
Yeah, that's about it. I will say they try to be a little bit of a Gone Girl type of thing. And I'm going to be a little more positive than Sean.
All right. Go ahead.
I think that they did all right. They did okay. I mean, I think for what they were trying to do, they did it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was terrible. There were a couple. I like murder crime movies, you know, and you know, there was a couple little twists. I was like, "Ooh, cool, okay."
I was taking a moment to look up the movie like this that I enjoyed.
Oh, what was that?
Which was No Good Deed with Idris Elba and Taraji P. Henson. That was this, but I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
The best thing I have to say about this is I'm really happy that Katherine Heigl realized that she's not likable. I'm happy she figured that out. Because
can I just compliment you as a spectacular film theorist and critic?
Yeah, thanks.
Because you are absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you are absolutely right.
Because she,
no matter what, she always has bitch face.
This is going back to the gossip of like 10 years ago.
But you remember
she had like a little war with the Grey's Anatomy writers.
Yeah.
And people started turning on her. And I thought she was good and Knocked Up. She was very funny. She did a good job with that. But then she tried to have that rom-com run. And that didn't really work out.
Right.
And people started turning on her. And then she kind of laid low for a minute. And now I'm like, oh, okay, she figured out that she kind of has to play the Ice Queen because that's how people are going to see her.
Well,
and she did it. And she and Rosario Dawson are both very good. That's the best
good.
Thing I
and,
can
and,
say in the
And
movie.
I think you're right. And I agree that I think the first thing I thought of at the end of the movie was, this could be Katherine Heigl's comeback.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. Because she hasn't been around very much.
She's and kind of the palatable version of the character from Gone Girl.
Yeah, and some of the movies she's done has been gone and went.
Yeah.
I was kind of in one of them.
We're going to save that for extra butter, because I'm eager to hear this story.
The extra butter is that I have been in a movie and a scene with both of these ladies.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing about that. But look, I mean, this is if you know nothing, if you've never seen a preview for this movie and I asked you to guess what it's about, you would come pretty close. It's just,
well,
you know,
I mean the actually, I really like the IMDb description of this movie because it's one sentence. A woman sets out to make life hell for her ex-husband's new wife.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Boom.
That's it.
All you need to know.
That's
all you need to know.
I've watched Lifetime movies before.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, at a certain, you know, there's a certain kind of movie that you want to like, oh, what's this? When you and your significant other are sitting on the couch and you're both kind of on your phones and one of you's probably half asleep, but you put something on and it's got this twisty drama plot and you know, okay. But I don't think anyone should ever pay a ticket for that. The fact that there are two good actors in this does not make it you know, if I'm going to the movie theater, I'm evaluating it like a movie, and that is, this script is like somebody's senior thesis at a, not even a film school, like a state school where they like made their own major in screenwriting.
Yeah.
You know, just really, it's got all of this like, like stupid heavy symbolism. What happened in the first? Oh, they're having a going away party for Rosario Dawson, and there's a slow shot of her cutting the cake through her own name. Like,
I think you read into that way more than it was like, supposed
come
to.
Come on, and then
I didn't even see that until.
Oh, and then on the way there, her suitcase falls off of her luggage rack. Which never came up again. Her suitcase falls.
Yeah, that was interesting. Moving is crazy.
No, it was because the hat that she had been given for a gift fell to the ground and another car ran over it. It's like, you think you're going to have a perfect, pure life? No.
Nope.
You're going to.
Her friend say it was her lucky hat?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Something like that. Remember,
and then, like, Katherine Heigl, like to get out tension, like, rides a horse very properly.
No, it's like, no. She wrote it hard.
Okay.
She wrote it angrily.
Yeah. She wrote it. This is why lots of teenage girls are into riding horses.
Sure. Why not?
Hey.
Speaking of her friend, I was just not speaking of girls riding horses.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my other podcast you can check
girls
out.
Riding
girls riding horses. Which
what would the subject even be?
No, we sit around and we watch, and then you just hear us talk about it.
Just go,
That's a good jump.
Yeah.
wow, that was that's a wide moat.
Oh, I thought you were making it dirty. I thought I thought it was like catcalling ladies on horses.
Sean.
Hey.
Oh, we just
you just comment.
What a beautiful maid.
I
mean, you know.
What are you saying about her friend played by
Whitney Cummings?
Yeah.
Hey, what has Whitney Cummings been doing? Making this movie. I feel like Whitney Cummings fell off the planet Earth.
Doesn't she have a show
thing in the world?
Oh, my God. I thought that show was still on. It was canceled 4 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Wow.
Wait, you're talking about her show?
Whitney.
Yeah. Chris D'Elia is crazy famous now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he have his own show? Undateable?
Undateables?
Yeah.
I don't think anymore.
Okay, that's also been canceled.
But also Whitney.
I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine and SNL. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I know about.
I believe Whitney also created and wrote Two Broke Girls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's, like, the executive producer.
Can I say that I do not enjoy that show?
No, it's not that good at all.
That's
okay.
Like, my parents like, and I'll go over, and they'll have Two Broke Girls on, and they're laughing, and, like, I'm just, like, every joke is, like, here's a sentence. I'm the black-haired girl and something-something boobs.
Yeah.
Here's another sentence. I'm the blonde girl and something I'm dumb. Like, that's every joke.
Yeah, you know, it's
oh, man, I don't like
Sean,
that
Sean, don't you know Chuck Lorre? Yeah.
Well, I let him off the hook.
Our friend Billy Gardell could talk about how many fat jokes he had to endure. Simple jokes.
I let Chuck Lorre off the hook for all those years because of I wanted to support Mike and Molly, but now that's not on anymore. So
yeah,
that's not comedy. That's
it's really simple.
That's like that's one of those things that's frustrating. And like when I see like a local comic who's pretty funny, and they're like, I might go to LA. It's like, well, look, I'm sure you can spitball Two Broke Girls jokes. So if you find your way on that path, more power.
Well, and it's the same thing with the huge show, the nerd show,
Big Bang Theory.
I mean, dude, like,
yeah.
I mean, I've it's so popular that I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch some episodes.
Yeah.
And I probably went through about honestly, I went through randomly about 10, 12 episodes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's the same. It's like I don't know how to, but it works. It works. You know what though? I can't.
Yeah,
complain.
See, I don't want to be a snob because, like,
you know what? Because if Chuck Lorre was Aaron Kleiber, you should have your own show. I'd be like, yes, sir.
Yep.
Here we go. Let's do these.
Anything you want.
Yeah.
I will make home improvement jokes.
Sure.
All day long.
Sure.
And I don't want to. And I don't want to be a snob because, like, that's
we're still. This is on the Whitney Cummings topic.
Yeah.
She was good.
Oh, yeah, she was good. She's a good actress.
She was good.
Yeah.
Good
she,
for her.
She knows what she's doing. And I love Rosario Dawson. I
love
you know,
her.
I wasn't engaged at all. I only could sit there because I was watching her. And I find her very, very likable always. She's a great actress.
She's a very good actress.
I just thought this is stupid, and it's short, and it's still too long. You said at one point that the music, like every music cue sounds like you're watching. I'm trying to think of.
Like, you know, there's some love scenes and some action scenes, and the music was straight up from television. It was like, it sounded like it was like NCIS.
One of my ex-girlfriends who I won't call out by name would watch a bunch of those shows.
Yeah.
And like for the past 60 seconds, I've been trying to name one, and they're so forgettable that I can't even. What's his name on? You know, James Spader. What's he on? The Blacklist.
The Blacklist.
It was like this.
Oh, no, I said Scandal.
You said Scandal.
It was like Tonight on Scandal.
This. If you had boiled this down to like a 50-minute episode of something,
yeah,
sure. At 100 minutes, it's like we know
yeah,
what's gonna
wrong.
Happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a 2020 episode. Like
it was. It was a dramatic recreation of a 2020 right. episode.
Would you ever like try to sit down and watch those? Because
dude, I used to watch them all the time.
Yeah, that middle 20 minutes is rough. Like
yeah, I did because I love true crime. I used
right.
to watch them all the time.
Oh no, I did too.
If they were on, I'd leave it on.
But
Dateline 2020, I'd watch them all.
But at 8:15, you're like, listen, I know that her husband killed her, and now I just got to sit here until 8:45 until they say it was her husband. You know,
and
that's what this movie is like. You know exactly what's going to happen and everything.
And
you didn't
give away. That was not a spoiler.
No, that's not what happens. That's every episode of 2020.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify because people are like, did Sean just tell us what happened?
I think I mean 48 hours. I think 2020 is a different kind of thing.
No, I like 2020 and Dateline. They all have that shit.
I'm still listening to My Favorite Murder. You ever get into that? I don't need to plug that. That blew up like
Sean,
crazy.
You have said this to me, I think, the last four podcasts.
I said it to you like 6 months ago when I started.
You told me last time I was on the podcast. You go, have you listened to My Favorite Murder?
Really?
The same exact.
Okay, like, yeah. You
let's
listen
review
to that.
The tape.
You got to listen to that. That's
you can listen
one.
To the last one we did. I'm pretty sure you were like, you got to listen to this.
They don't need any help. They
I can't wait.
They blew up like crazy.
No, I put it on my list. Definitely going to watch that.
Live episodes aren't that great. Listen to the normal ones.
Okay.
Anyway, I did not like this film.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't go, like, you know, it's not at the bottom of the scale, but I wouldn't go above, like, you know, like, if I want to give it a 4, and I feel like I'm being very generous. Like, it's 3 to 4 for me.
Yeah, I would not disagree that it is low.
Yeah.
I will say that it's at least a 5 for me.
Okay.
I think some people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do. I think, you know, yeah, I think, you know, I said a ladies' night.
Okay.
If a bunch of ladies like our moms want to go out to a movie,
mm-hmm.
I could see them going to see this.
I would
because my mom watches Lifetime movies.
I would not pay for a ticket. Like I
oh no
I,
no
like even with that I would say you know Redbox when you're having a couple people over with a couple bottles of wine and you can pick up the Redbox for $1 and you throw it on and make fun of it and kind of talk about your lives the whole
right,
way
right
maybe
right
I'm kicking it down to 3 that was what was
wow
what was everything what was the whole that the opening is so bad, which it isn't a spoiler to say, like, this is one of those, it opens almost at the end of the movie.
Well,
and
it's like the beginning of the third act.
Yeah.
They show the beginning of the third act in the first minute.
And then 6 weeks earlier, which is just lazy and cheap. But more than that, the thing they cut to, again, I won't spoil it, did not actually matter at all, even in the moment.
Actually, no, you're right. When that did happen, it just went and gone. And it was like,
Yeah.
Yeah, that, oh, man. Yeah,
right?
No spoilers, but also what?
Yep.
How did that go away?
Hey, I saw two other movies. Yeah, that's it. That's it for Unfriended. I know that's the poster on the thing, but thanks for listening. We're going to talk about something else now. I saw two other movies. I saw The Promise, which is, you know, this isn't a bad movie, but I don't know who to say. Yeah, go see it. It's about, it's set during the Armenian genocide during World War One, which is
give me a suggestion of an event.
Right.
what an improv suggestion.
What I mean,
Armenian genocide.
That's a part of history that more people should know about. Right.
I agree.
If you might not know anything about it now, and it is
it's like 2 million people.
Yeah. Two million people were killed. 2 million ethnic Armenians were killed mostly by Turkey in World War One, and later, this might be one of those lost to history things, but it's reported that later, someone a Nazi asked Hitler, like, are we gonna be known for this forever? And he was like, does anyone remember the Armenian genocide? No.
Wow.
That might be one of those. Ask Professor Buzzkill if that's a real thing that somebody said. But it's just weird. It's more than 2 hours long, and it's mostly like a love triangle movie.
Hmm.
And then it gets into the war at the end. It's not bad. And I wouldn't say, no, don't go see it. It's Oscar Isaac is great.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy good.
Yeah.
I know that we all know that now because of Force Awakens, but he's really, really good. And it has this actress from Westworld. Do you remember her?
Oh yeah, absolutely. She's fantastic.
Sarafyan. Christian Bale is in it. Charlotte Le Bon is in it. It's fine. I just don't know who's going to be like, yeah, let's go see that one this weekend. I can't imagine. But what was pretty good is Free Fire. Do you know about this?
I've heard of it.
Brie Larson is in it. Cillian Murphy. Charlton Copley.
Yeah.
There's somebody else famous in it, and I'm blanking on them right now.
Oh.
But it's an action movie. You would like this a lot. It's an action movie, and it's the rare real-time movie. Where
I love that
some people meet up for a drug deal, or not a drug deal, a gun deal. Some people, there's one group selling guns, one group buying guns, and it goes south, and that's the whole movie.
Wow.
Like the whole thing is 90 minutes of real time of this situation, and that's really interesting. It does drag a little bit for that reason because of like there's like 45 minutes of shooting and crawling, but
that sounds fun.
But yeah, that's a lot different. That was better than this movie. I wish we would have done a podcast about that. Meanwhile, in Extra Butter, Aaron leaned over at the beginning of this film and commented on his experience working with both of these actresses.
It was funny.
How about that?
It was funny because, is this Extra Butter?
Yes.
No, it's funny because I'm looking at the screen. Usually when you go to press screenings, they just have like the movie poster up on the screen. And I was like, something like I was commenting to Sean how I thought that Katherine Heigl was one of the most beautiful women I've seen in person.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, huh? And I was like, oh, yeah, I briefly did a movie with her. And then I was like, and
because
then I was
when I'm telling people your credits.
Yeah.
I mention Warrior and Unstoppable and Super Ninjas, but I didn't know you were in One for the Money.
Yeah, nah. I mean, I wouldn't even mention Unstoppable, let alone Warrior.
You were Ethan Suplee's body double. Your whole body is in the movie. I remember watching you fall down.
What an accomplishment. I can't wait to tell my drama teacher from high school. Well, I look like another fat guy, and... No, he was huge.
Yeah, he's a lot bigger than you ever were.
It was funny. No, that's true because the movie Unstoppable, Denzel Washington, Rosario Dawson, I was also in a movie with her.
Yeah, she was in that.
She was the like the CSX communications director. She was like the director of the communications for all the railroad lines. Railroad whatever. So long story short, yes, I was cast as the photo and body double for Ethan Suplee. You may know him as the big guy, and My Name is Earl.
Or Boy Meets World for people our age.
Oh, my
right?
gosh. Yeah.
Right?
When he was a child.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Yeah.
And he's in a bunch of stuff. He was in American
History
X. Oh, he's
in a ton of stuff.
And, yeah, you know
yeah,
yeah,
a ton
saw.
Of stuff. So they had the interiors of the train in the studio where we were filming, like the soundstage, and so like I had to be inside and, you know, touch levers and fall over from far
yeah.
away, and there was green screen fields or something, I don't know, but what happens when you work on a huge movie and you are this tiny little piece of it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what I did took one day,
yeah.
yet I was on set for six.
Right.
So while you go in the first day and they're like, okay, well, here's Ethan Suplee's costumes that you're going to try on. And he's 6'4", like mm-hmm. 360.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? No, he's not. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they said, how big
yeah.
he was, because they had to match me.
Right.
And I was like, I'm like 6'1", like 280,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that point. And I put on his like mechanics outfit, and it was like a child wearing his dad's coat. I mean,
yeah.
he's a big guy. But I didn't have anything to do, and they kept telling me to come in mm-hmm. in case I was basically doing second unit things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I had nothing to do, and they're
paying me. You're a body when they need a body on
they're,
camera.
Yeah. They're paying me
mm-hmm.
a pretty decent amount of money to be there per day.
Yeah.
So they were just like, hey, yeah, you're wearing jeans and a hoodie. Oh, wait, here's a flannel.
Yeah.
Go stand in the background of all these scenes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And those scenes were on the other side of the soundstage where Rosario Dawson did all her scenes in the communications room of the rail yards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stood in the background and watched her do all her scenes for about 2 days.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, because they were like, well, we're paying this guy over $1,000 a day. We should probably make him do something.
Right.
And
they
did, and they made me an extra.
Yeah,
which
sure.
is
which
really, is fine.
Really highly paid extra.
And that happens. You know, you're just like, okay,
yeah.
sure. So I got to look at her all day, and she is beautiful and very tall and fun and nice. And, you know, I got to say hi. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, but that was also I also got to stand and watch for 2 days straight, watch Tony Scott direct her.
Yeah, how about that?
And that was really cool.
Yeah.
He was really cool. It was kind of neat to, like, experience that with some, you know, just to see him work
right.
with her, and then he pass away is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that was the best memory about that whole thing.
But you had a bigger part in One for the Money.
Well, that's a really funny story. So I was cast in One for the Money. I don't know if like this is supposed to be secrets or you know, but this is how movie making works.
Right.
So I was cast as the giggling detective. That was the actual, I swear to God. And at this point I was about 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Man, what year was that? God. 2010, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at least 300 pounds then. And I find out that you're this giggling detective. You're going to wear a Hawaiian shirt and a badge and a gun, and you're going to be always eating a donut or a sandwich. And I was like, well, I'm 300 pounds. This is my life as an actor now.
I'm on your IMDb page
okay.
now. Yeah.
And so what happened was they come and tell me, and they say, hey, we just want to let you know that you're – the partner of John Leguizamo.
Huh.
You're John Leguizamo's partner.
Huh.
When they told me that, I almost pooped my pants because I love John Leguizamo. I love his books. I love his live one-man shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a spectacular actor. He's an amazing character actor. When he showed up in John Wick, I was so super excited.
Mm-hmm.
I love when he shows up as these side actors. And so I get to be his partner.
That's great.
And basically spend a week and a half with him. And I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tweeted him and was like, dude, I was cast as your partner. And we're like, what's up, man? Cool. That's awesome. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I go in. I get my Hawaiian shirt. I have my name on a trailer.
Oh, wow.
And
that's pretty good.
Yeah. That wasn't the first time, I don't think. It was
right.
not. But it was still like, okay, this is for real, right? So they're saying, okay, well, just today and maybe tomorrow, we're doing all the interior scenes for the police station. And this took place in Trenton, New Jersey, and they made and it was filmed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They made an abandoned hospital, the Trenton, New Jersey police station. So they said, you need to exist in the police station, so we're just going to put you at your desk or walking around in the back of the police station.
Okay.
Because this other guy was doing scenes. He was the guy that was the real cop that was, like, helping Katherine Heigl, like, catch bad guys or whatever, because she's a bounty hunter or whatever, something like that, right? So I do that, boom, 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 boom. And then they're like, oh, yeah, like, you're in this scene with Katherine Heigl. Like, you're standing outside, and I'm cool, get to watch her work.
Yeah.
And really just a tall, beautiful, like, Nordic goddess. She is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
I'm sorry. She's a beautiful woman. And so, so then I'm like, okay, cool. And then they're like, all right, well, so chill out here. And it was like day three. I go in on day three and they're like, here, chill here. It's like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Sitting there. It's noon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? So then they're like, hey, just go drive this car through the scene. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, as a extra driver. Yeah. Okay. And then they're like, all right, we're gonna shoot at night tomorrow. So we want you to come in at night, and this is a scene at the end of the movie. You know, we'll let you know what you're doing. Basically, anything that I was told was that I would be being fed from set.
Yeah.
Based on John Leguizamo's, because he improvises sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically I'm just laughing at him.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Right.
I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I go in for the night shoot, and it is the end of the movie when Katherine Heigl, if you've seen the movie One for the Money, where she's the bounty hunter, she brings in the bad guy. Like, it's the final scene where she finally brings him in. And so I'm just standing there, and from what I know at the end of the movie, like, John Leguizamo is supposed to, like, say something to her, and because he's always making fun of her.
Yeah.
In the script. And she's like, see, I boo, 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 I've solved the crime. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, and I'm not laughing anymore, and she fist pounds me. Mm-hmm. She actually did. We did fist bump at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because some cops were clapping.
Yeah.
And she saw me, and she fist pounded me. Okay, yeah. Cool. So the next, they're like, come in the next day. And I'm like, all right, we got to shoot some stuff. And I go in, and I'm like, sitting there again.
Yeah.
Sitting there till noon. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I've been here 4 days, and John Leguizamo has not shown up yet. So it was like an associate producer and the casting director or whatever. They pull me aside, and I remember it was my friend from the local casting office was there as well, and they're like, so hey, so John Leguizamo, he cannot make it in until next week. Okay. He has a scheduling snafu. He won't be able to make it in next week. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I can come back next week. Yeah. At this point, I don't have a job.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'm a comedian. Like, yeah. And I'm, you know, I would think I was driving a limo or something every once in a while. I used to drive Mercedes and Lexuses. That was my last real job.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so I can come in next week. And they're like, no, but here's the thing. We're cutting like 4 or 5 of John's scenes. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, so all the scenes with John and you are at this police station here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always here with him. And I was like, okay. And he has like 2 scenes that are not at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, and he's not coming in for like 2 weeks to do that. And you're not in those scenes. And I was like, so I am cut from the movie. And they were like, yes.
Yeah.
So I was that close to being John Leguizamo's partner on camera.
Man.
And I actually hit him up on Twitter, and I was like, hey, man, I heard about the scheduling conflict, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it would have been a pleasure to meet you. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is amazing and crazy and terrible, and I hate it, but it's amazing still. And so I know what you guys are thinking. You're like, wait a second. Why couldn't you just film the police station later? And that's what I said. I said, well, wait, can't you guys just reschedule to shoot at the police station? They go, oh, no. See, it's Saturday. They're demolishing this building on Monday morning. I was like,
I see.
The Braddock Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in that 2 days before it was demolished.
Okay.
Filming in a police station.
Let me ask you, because...
So that's where I met Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, and she was nice?
Yeah, she was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she was very nice.
Yeah. But you're... Do you... At that time, you were going pretty hard to try to get some parts like that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And unfortunately,
it was before I was on the road doing stand-up, for sure.
I think we've talked about on the show before, a similar thing happened to you with Warrior, where
that
was going to be a bigger part.
Oh, yeah. I can name more movies, too.
And
She's out of my league? Cut.
She's out of my league?
Yeah, yeah. I was the business guy that he runs into, a big businessman that he runs into at the airport at the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I call him names, and he calls me names. And it was, like, this funny little scene where I'm like, oh, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they called me the night before and said, we changed our mind. We're going to cut the dialogue and use a stuntman now.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, well, I hate you.
Well, that's and you know, this was a shame for you at the time, and I'm sure it was devastating.
Yeah.
However,
it's crazy.
This is what happens.
This is how it works.
This is what happens to actors who are
working. This is a real story. Yeah.
And since then, now I'm just interviewing you. You've become... Now you're on the road all the time for comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you, you know, do you, are you trying to, is that in the back of your mind to
no,
do
I mean,
more
I,
film stuff?
No,
or
I mean, I still audition for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still on a pace of doing at least 4 to 5 commercials a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of commercials. Most of them are national. And I just got a role in a pilot that I'm filming next week.
And is that all you can say at the moment?
Actually, I'm pretty excited. It's a movie called it's a pilot called Trending. It's a kind of a cop drama.
Ah.
And I play a detective.
Who's in it? Did I just hear something about this?
Also, our Pittsburgh actor friend Patrick Jordan is in it as well. He's
a very cool,
successful actor from Pittsburgh. He's been in like Batman and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I remember because we were just getting to know each other at the time, and I remember thinking, man, this is a heartbreaking business to try to break
it is
into.
No joke. Yeah, it is crazy.
Can I talk to you about your upcoming projects on IMDb?
Oh,
is
it?
You have 3 upcoming projects on IMDb.
Can we say goodbye?
Well,
I have no idea what that is.
One of them is Return to Scream Park.
Oh.
As we've had...
Should we bring up any of these movies? Because I believe...
That'll happen.
I believe if you look that up, it's things that... That I was listed as a cast member, and I committed to saying yes, I will do this film, and it's still not done yet. I still have not been told when we are filming.
Carrie's been on the podcast before.
Yeah,
I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's filmmaking wise, I think it's money, it's it's timing. I mean, it's so many different things. Do you know how hard it is to make a movie?
Of course,
I have made myself 2 independent films.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy. Yeah, it's really hard to get your money together, all the people together, and especially if you're doing it an independently funded and produced film, it takes a lot of manpower.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of people who are cheap or free.
Right.
And it's hard to get all of these things together.
It
is not easy. But Scream Park, the first one, I loved. It's a great campy.
Oh, no. The Return to Scream Park is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm interested in... Am I allowed to ask you about this?
You know, hold on. That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's on public IMDb.
Right. Because when we started talking, I pulled up your IMDb. look up Aaron on IMDb.
Yeah.
And this isn't like, bring this up because it's not happening or it's been in development.
No, this is a good extra butter.
I'm just very curious because you're credited here
Let me just say about Scream Park.
Yeah.
I already molded my head.
Oh, yeah. It's happening.
They cast my head for my kill.
Oh, that, see.
Yeah, and I'm playing a sheriff's deputy, which being a detective, a sheriff's deputy, and a fat dad is about my 3 ranges.
And I looked at your upcoming
projects. This is another one that I was asked about if I could do it, and my friend who I met on Warrior, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, because I looked at the announced, yeah. the only people committed to this movie are you, our friend Tammy Pescatelli, and then Kurt Angle, Donnell Rawlings, and Kane Hodder,
Jason. It's pretty neat that that kind of fell together, because I was like, I'm really good friends with Tammy Pescatelli and Donnell Rawlings. I've worked with many times.
Yeah.
And so Kurt's people, well, Kurt hit me up, and Kurt's people was like, we're doing this thing, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, this is something that Kurt's people are putting together? Or
I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Talked to him and was like, you're perfect for this. Boom. Great.
Yeah. Well, I hope that sees the light of day. It is it is currently called Singlet, the Dana Kelly story.
Yeah.
But titles tend to change.
Yeah, from what I understand, Dana Kelly was a wrestler who who was, I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, you were in a movie that's had three different titles.
Yeah, that's true.
That you did with Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, that's right. And Rondell Sheridan.
Because I saw that on there, and now it was called Help Me Help You.
Yeah,
it was, and I knew that movie as If It Ain't Broke, Break
It. If It Ain't Broke, Break It. That's what it was during all of the filming. And then the distributors changed it to be more simple when it hit Netflix and Amazon.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's...
That's a little bit about the movie business, guys. I don't know anything about it. Sometimes people come up to me like, well, you must know. No, I don't know anything.
It is a totally different realm watching movies to making movies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people I know that make movies that don't even watch movies.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The Dana Kelly story is a guy that becomes a competitive weightlifter. He was like a Olympic boxer who was injured or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting cast, isn't it? Kane Hodder, who is the most famous Jason Voorhees.
That's why I had to ask you, because it's, Kane Hodder, Kurt Angle, Tammy, and Aaron.
Three stand-up comedians and a gold medalist.
Yeah. You know, Kurt's back on Raw every Monday night.
Dude, I saw him, and I'm super excited that he's back on wrestling.
Can you get me some access? Can you get me some have you stayed close?
No, man.
But I'm sure his number's in your phone.
Sean!
You could text him.
You could
text him.
Sean, this is getting uncomfortable.
The ringside experience.
I don't feel uncomfortable with you wanting me to call Kurt Angle for you.
Well, I kind of always have.